Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is business consultant at El Paso Community College and fiction writer, 82-year-old Las Cruces Joe Conway, to tell us about his book, Greyhound Therapy. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
It's my pleasure.
Well, let's first find out where you were born and raised and how you got started in writing.
I was born in Washington, D.C., but raised on a farm in Maryland. And I spent most of my young life in the woods. However, I took music lessons. My mother insisted that I take music lessons. So I had to ride the bus into Washington, D.C. to take those lessons. And I was always fascinated by people, the characters that rode the bus. Where are they going? Where are they coming from? What are they going to do when they get where they're going? And as a result, I was always a people watcher. And then when I got into law enforcement, which I did after I retired from the Army, I got to meet some of those people that were riding the buses.
Let's step back. You said you were retired from the Army. How long were you in the U.S. Army?
Yeah, 20 years.
So that was your life there. Did you ride a bus during your lifetime there in the U.S. Army?
You know, I never rode a bus while I was in the Army. I never did. I rode a lot of tanks, and I rode a lot of trucks, and I rode a lot of airplanes, but I never rode a bus.
So is Greyhound Therapy, the book, your first book that you've written?
It is my first book that I've written, yes.
Tell me a little bit about the book. You've already talked about how you rode the bus as growing up, going into Washington, D.C., about meeting the people. So this led you to writing a book. Why do you call it a therapy book?
It's called Greyhound Therapy because people who sometimes ride the bus and end up in small towns, they have an impact on the resources of that town, if that's where they end up. And those towns have to deal with them. People who have stopped taking their medications and they end up having chemical problems and they're mentally unstable. So if they're dangerous to themselves or other people, law enforcement gets involved. And once they get involved, they have to either put them in jail or they have to take them to the emergency room. And that's where they become therapized.
Okay? Now, when growing up, when you were going to Washington, D.C., riding the bus, were you aware that there were people that needed help?
You'd have people that were talking to themselves. You had people who would walk up and down the aisles and just tap you on the shoulder or pull your hair or whatever. And then you had some people who were just really obnoxious. And so there was all kinds of characters.
How old were you that you can recall your first experience, how it felt going into that bus?
I was 12 when I first got into the bus and realized that there were people who were different from me. They acted different from me. And I became very interested. I became a people watcher. So, and then they'd sit down beside you, and I remember specifically this little old lady that insisted on telling me about her daughter who had run off with this, she called him a shiftless old man, and she was on her way out to get her and bring her back home because he had dumped her.
And you were only 12.
I was 12, yes, and I specifically remember that one.
And how long were these bus rides?
It generally took about 45 minutes to go from Maryland into Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever take a longer bus ride?
Yes, I used to take the bus to Atlantic City, New Jersey, Ocean City, Maryland, from where we lived. And I think probably the longest bus ride I ever took was to Tallahassee, Florida, from Maryland. That was a long one.
And were you by yourself?
I was alone, yes. It was about 14 or 15 when I took that one.
I remember my first bus ride. I was 16.
Were you?
Yeah, I went from Arizona to Las Cruces to come and live with my grandmother. That was quite an experience. The smells of the bus.
Yes.
You know, the how the seats were, how they rode, when they would stop. And I remember one bus stop and getting off to eat. And it was like a buffet style. I had never experienced that before. I even remember the color of the food, the smell of the food. And then arriving and being picked up by a family member.
Mm-hmm.
So who would pick you up?
Generally, I would walk. The bus would pick us up on the highway because we were on the farm, so we had to walk to the highway. And I'd get off and I'd walk home. It's about maybe 3.5 miles. And so that's how I got to the bus.
And do you think more people should ride the bus?
The bus is an experience that you never forget, really. You know, and you see another side of people and experiences. And the scenery is beautiful if you're taking a long ride.
The people that you experience, you said, you talk a lot about how a lot of them have mental problems, but I'm sure there's your regular people.
Well, there's regular folk. There's people that read books, just read the whole time that they're on, you know. And then there's people who you just know by looking at them that they're not really riding that bus because they're enjoying themselves, they're nervous. Criminals ride the bus, and I talk about one particular criminal in my book that came into Rock Springs, Wyoming on a bus, and it's quite a story.
And did you ever encounter any business people? Any people, owners of businesses?
You know, business people, women would ride the bus, but I saw very few businessmen that I encountered on the bus, okay? Ministers, nuns, lots of those ride the bus. But now that you mention it, I don't think I ever actually came in contact with a businessman. I suppose they had other things they needed to get there faster or whatever.
So do you think that the people who also ride the bus do not drive cars?
A lot of them do not have cars. Yes, I found a lot of them, because most of them were picked up when we made these stops. Somebody was there to pick them up, you know, things like that.
You know, there's one carrier that says, ride the bus and leave the driving to us.
Yes.
So between young children and older people who don't drive, would that be some of the clientele riding a bus?
You didn't see many children by themselves on the bus. There were kids my age, of course, but younger children were generally always with somebody, you know. And bus drivers were very polite, very professional, and I felt comfortable riding a bus.
Well, I rode the bus in Europe, in Spain.
That should have been an experience.
It was an experience where I was fortunate to be able to sit in the very front seat. So it was during the day,
mm-hmm.
and I had my camera, and I could take pictures. And he purposely would slow down and let me take pictures of the scenery between Sevilla and Granada.
Mm-hmm.
And people watched, but it was mostly scenic pictures. So it was watching the scenery, not so much the people. Was there a specific part of the bus that you preferred riding in?
The middle.
Why the middle?
Because I didn't want to be in the back, because most of the people that were drinking on the bus were in the back. And I didn't like drinking. And of course, during that time, you could smoke on the buses. And most of the people who smoked were in the back of the bus. So I got in the middle. That way I could see people coming and going and not have to sit back there with those guys.
But there's different types of buses. There's the configuration of the bus itself were the bigger ones that for the longer drives. And then there's your day-to-day buses. Now, of course, they've improved. They're different now. I was also in Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people ride the buses, which are not people who need therapeutic help, who are not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a way of getting from one place to the next, that they may not have automobiles. So it's family members, school kids, a lot of this. So did you experience that as well?
Public transportation in other countries is a way of life, okay? Most people don't have cars or didn't have cars at that time. And the way to get around was on a bus. And most of the countries that I were in, I spent a lot of time in Germany and Italy and France. Most people ride the bus, you know, and if they didn't ride the bus, they rode a bicycle.
Or the train.
Now, the train, I think my first experience with a fast train was in Germany, and that was quite an experience. I didn't have much time to watch people on that train because it got me there too fast.
So how long did it take you to write the book?
I wrote over a period of 8 years.
What was your inspiration? What was the first time you put a pen or computer to paper?
My wife and I owned a security company, and we were operating out of Rock Springs, Wyoming, where I've set the story. And we got the opportunity to take care of some of these people that had come into town on the bus and had to be detained for their own welfare. And so one day we were talking to each other, and I said, you know, we've got all these notes about the things that have happened and what we've done. I think I ought to write a book. And I said, and we'll call it Greyhound Therapy. So that's how I got started.
And so within this 8 years, so your Greyhound Therapy, and you've talked about some of these experiences. Now, as you got older, after the Army, and you were riding the buses and experiencing people on the bus, what was another story that you had, something that would have been therapeutic to you?
Well, there was a lot of stories and a lot of pieces of stories that we put together. And there were, I remember specifically that there was one lady that got on the bus, and she just stood and looked at everybody. And then finally the bus driver asked her if she'd please take her seat. And she just went off, you know. And finally people had actually physically take her off the bus, okay. And I'll never forget that one. And I made notes from that, too.
So is that in your book?
It's a part of a character that's in the book.
So it's mostly fictional, but based on true characters.
On true things that happened, and I developed characters around the activities.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the main character of your book. Tell me about who that is.
This gentleman is a sheriff of Sweetwater County, Wyoming. And he's not only a law enforcement person, but he's also a humanist. He likes people. And he feels that the people in his county are his charges. And the people that come into town that need help, he's willing to help them. And half of his staff are people that he has helped in some way. And the criminals that come in, he deals with them on one hand. And the people who come in and need tender, loving care, he handles them on the other hand. And at the same time, he is dealing with a wife that has been diagnosed with cancer. So he's trying to put all of this together and still be the sheriff.
That's you, isn't it?
No, it's not me, but it is a person that I admired. And I did spend a lot of time working with him. So the main character is inspired by this person.
And what is the main character's name?
It's Craig Spence.
Craig Spence, Sheriff Craig Spence. So we'll look forward to reading about Sheriff Craig Spence.
He's a great guy.
A great guy on Greyhound Therapy.
Yes.
So what brought you to El Paso?
Well, my wife was raised here, and she was a part of the Chavez family that lives here in Las Cruces. Denise Chavez, for an example, was her sister.
Farideh was your wife?
Yes. Yes, Farideh, yes. And when I decided to, her health started to going downhill, so we decided we were going to retire, sell our business, and go someplace where the weather was nice, it wasn't so cold. And we ended up in back home. She wanted to come back home, so we came here to Las Cruces. I had been here before, and I liked it. I got tired of shoveling snow, stuff like that, and I didn't think I'd ever have to shovel snow here. That's not exactly true, but it's been nice. I have to drive to El Paso every day.
And you don't take the bus then?
No, I don't take the bus. I would have taken the bus, but the timing isn't right. I wouldn't be able to get to work on time or get back home on time.
Because we do see a lot of buses that go all the way into
but
Mexico.
But it just doesn't work for me. Yeah. So I have to drive.
Well, I really appreciate you coming out and telling us about your new book, a fictional based on reality, Greyhound Therapy by J.R. Conway.
Yes.
Your book will be available, A Casa Camino Real. And also, will people be able to get it online?
It's available on Amazon, and it's also Barnes & Noble. This book is a good bus ride read.
So your next book, you'll be getting your sequel to Greyhound Therapy and having another good bus ride read. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. The world premiere book launch, signing and reception of Greyhound Therapy, written by J.R. Joe Conway, will be held on Saturday, May 31st from 3 to 5 p.m. at Casa Camino Real, home of the Border Book Festival, 314 South Tornillo Street in Las Cruces. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.